Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
This is Lee Oden, and you're listening to the Marketing Book Podcast.
Welcome to the Marketing Book Podcast, helping you keep up with the smartest thinking in the quickly changing field of modern marketing. And now, here's your host, Douglas Burdett.
Hello, thanks for joining me on the Marketing Book Podcast. My goal in this podcast is to help you discover new ideas about what's working in modern marketing. Don't worry about taking notes. You can find links to everything discussed in the show notes at marketingbookpodcast.com. Today, I'm joined by Lee Oden, and we're going to talk about his book, Optimize, How to Attract and Engage More Customers by Integrating SEO, Social Media, and Content Marketing. Lee Oden is the CEO of Top Rank Online Marketing, a Minneapolis-based digital marketing agency specializing in strategic internet marketing consulting, training, and implementation services, including content, search, email, and social media marketing. Lee is frequently cited for his search and social media marketing expertise by leading publications, including The Economist, Forbes, Wall Street Journal, and The New York Times. As an active thought leader in the search marketing industry, he's contributed to top industry publications such as Marketing Profs, Content Marketing Institute, Mashable, and ClickZ. He also publishes one of the most popular marketing blogs on the web, Top Rank's online marketing blog, recognized as a leading business blog by Advertising Age, Social Media Examiner, and many, many others. Lee is also the first guest on the Marketing Book Podcast who is a United States Army veteran. Hoo-ah!
Hoo-ah!
Lee, congratulations on Optimize and welcome to the Marketing Book Podcast.
Well, Douglas, it's great to be here.
So let me just read one short excerpt and then we're going to get into some questions. I've got way too many questions than what the time allows, but I'm going to do my best to get to some of them. This book is for the marketers, public relations professionals, small to medium-sized business owners, and large company marketing executives who want to understand and implement a roadmap that incorporates the synergies of content, social media, and search engine optimization. Lee, what was the story that led to this book?
Well, Doug, I had been blogging before the book for many, many years, and using blogging as a way to curate interesting news, share best practices, and ultimately make it into a marketing asset. And so I was actually reluctant and had no interest in writing a book whatsoever, because I felt being able to grow a substantial audience through blogging was satisfying my need to write and to market in that way from an inbound sort of perspective. But then I ran into Jay Baer, an acquisition editor from Wiley, at a conference, and I knew Jay had written a book, and I had talked to him and many other authors, and they all told me how painful it would be to write a book. It would take away all my free time.
Was that the Now Revolution that he had written?
It was. Okay. It was the Now Revolution, yeah. And so this Wiley, someone had been talking to me from Pearson for about a year, and I just didn't want to do anything. When this Wiley person and I were talking, and it took about another year for me finally to decide, you know what, I'm seeing the pain my friends as authors were sharing with me, not as something to be fearful of, but as an opportunity. Because I thought, you know what, if I go through this process, I feel like I'm going to be a lot smarter as a result. And that's something I can bring to the table with my clients, with my community, and it'll make me a better business person, a better person, better marketer. And so that's why I decided to do it. And that's and I had these ideas in my mind about as a reaction to or response to consulting and the pain points companies were sharing and the shift that was happening in the search industry where we were born out of. And I wanted to put that together, and I felt I could effectively put that together in a book that would be very helpful to people in a wide variety of industries.
In the book, you talk about being optimized is a state of mind. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Sure. So, you know, traditionally optimization SEO is really specifically in reference to trying to do the sorts of things that'll give you better visibility on a search engine like Google. And an optimized state of mind is really sort of an opportunistic point of view. It's a way of looking at a scenario where, you know, you have this hypothesis about what's true and how to achieve a goal. You put it forward and you collect data to continuously make it better. So it's closer to the true definition of optimization, and that is this continuous effort at improving performance. And what's neat about an optimized state of mind, of course, is that it's applicable not just to marketing, but to public relations, customer service. Anyone who is publishing content for a specific audience should anticipate a certain amount of search demand, and they can increase the effectiveness of their reach with an optimized state of mind by always looking for ways to improve, how to shorten sales cycles, how to shorten the distance between when they publish and actually being the best answer for people when they're actually looking.
Right. So in the book, you mentioned that traditionally SEO has worked independently of other marketing tactics, but that's not the world we live in today. And I sometimes liken it to, you know, SEO has gone from perhaps being the icing on a cake to being the eggs that are in the cake, or it's gone from plastic surgery to internal medicine. And this book is, I think, my take was that it was a response to that, where it has to be a holistic approach. Rather, you can't just attain all your goals for getting found online by on-page tinkering.
Right. Well, absolutely. And you know, I have a food metaphor too. I like to say SEO is the mayonnaise to your sandwich. On its own and not so great, but it touches nearly everything and makes the whole sandwich taste so good, right? Mm-hmm. And so SEO, I think, is something that is it requires integration of tactics in order to be successful if search is something you're really expecting new business to come from. But at the same time, search is an important quiver in your or arrow in your quiver or bullet in your magazine.
Thank you.
In your repertoire of tactics, right? Because clearly people are the journey, customer journey to finding solutions is not linear, and it's certainly not one or two steps. There are multiple touch points that lead someone through a buyer journey from being aware to considering to actually making a purchase and transacting. So SEO plays a really important role at many different points during the buying journey, all the way from understanding what a thing is, what a category is, what the nature of a problem is, all the way to comparing vendors, comparing solutions, to finding where can I go buy that, right, at the best price and so forth. So I think that's where SEO plays. And making SEO work, of course, requires social. It requires content. It requires many different activities that will create positive signals so that search engines understand that, just like you want customers to know, that you're the best answer.
Mm-hmm. When I'm talking to companies, I think there's still a lot of belief that, as I mentioned before, there's just some sort of on-page tinkering you can do to improve your SEO. And I get contacted by companies that are basically doing only that. And it's always a bit of a surprise when I try to explain to them that it's a whole different ball game. What do you find are some of the lingering misperceptions out there about SEO?
Well, one of the biggest misperceptions is that there's a top 10 search results. And what I mean by that is when you search from where you are in Virginia, and if you search for pizza and I search for pizza from here in Minneapolis, we're going to get different search results, obviously. But even if we search up for something like, you know, marketing services or something like that, we're going to get different search results. But ironically, if we're sitting in the same room and we both search from a mobile device, we're going to get different search results than if we searched on our laptop computers. So the user experience when they search for something is not universal. It hasn't been for a long time. Personalization is baked into all search results, whether you're logged in or not. And so that's a big misperception for a lot of companies. And they look at things like ranking reports and think that when they look at this report, they're getting an indication of what the user experience will be like for a particular keyword amongst all their target audience. And that's just not true. And there are other tactical misperceptions like, going out and getting lots and lots of links is the win. Doing lots of guest blog posts with many, many, many exact match anchor text links is the way to win, you know, mm-hmm. And that sort of thing. It's really the manifestation of what is the right thing to do. To me, the expression is be the best answer. And be the best answer is all about what information, what proof can you provide that shows that you really are the most findable and you are the most credible and you give the most useful and valuable information, so much so that it's compelling, so much so that people are willing to share it. So when you create content that's thematically, you know, on point with how you want to be found or how you want to be known, and you create information or content and media that's such a great experience, it motivates people to share, that they interact and act on it. That's SEO. I mean, that's the kind of thing that Google's looking for programmatically, looking for evidence of those types of behaviors to determine how to sort those search results. Mm-hmm. And so that comes down to having to publicize, optimize, socialize, right? And lately, and this isn't in the what we I really focus on is influencer activation mm-hmm. to amplify content.
Speaking of Google, one of my favorite parts of the book is when you you said the notion of SEO professionals reverse engineering Google's method of ranking web pages with universal predictability are gone.
Exactly.
However, what we can do is understand Google's and Bing's motivation for search quality. What are their motivations? What are the things that are keeping the search engine people up at night? What are they worried about?
Well, I think it comes down to creating a trustworthy user experience when people use their tool, because I think there's a direct correlation between user experience with organic and the likelihood people will statistically come back and possibly click on a paid ad. I mean, money, you know, revenue's what makes the world goes round. So, you know, Google's and they're offering a free tool. They're creating value in the expectation that you're going to use the tool, Google.com or Google on mobile, enough mm-hmm. that you're be exposed to a relevant ad and click on it. So I think, and of course, there's you know, that's why Google wants you to use search. They're not saying just click on our organic links. They're saying just use Google search, and they apply quality measures to make sure those ads are relevant too. And in lots of transactional cases, the ads may be as or better than the search results.
Mm-hmm. But I think also they're worried about just giving good results to what people are looking for. They want to provide those answers. You mentioned in the book that our job as marketers is to create optimized content focused on answering general questions from the from our prospective customers.
Yes. I was just going to say, you know, buyers have questions as they move through the buyer journey. So the simplest thing one can to identify what those questions are.
So Lee, in the book, it talks about SEO, but what you've also done is you've talked a lot about content and how SEO fits into all that. And when you talk about SEO, one thing you mentioned is content creation is one of the most effective SEO tactics. And I've often heard from folks like you and others where they say if you're talking to an SEO firm and they're not talking to you about content, run. Is that true?
Yes, it is. It is. Content is the reason search exists. you can't have search results without creating content. And, you know, there are every engagement or every, you know, initiative into the search optimization world starts from a different place. Some companies, let's say a startup, doesn't have a lot of content. So clearly they have to create more. Or you may have a company that's a Fortune 500 and they've got 10 years or more of content online and yet their search goals aren't being met. We may still need to create content in that case because they're publishing with, you know, the publishing product marketing manager's ideas about what's important versus what the customers think are important. So content creation is almost always an element of a program where search is expected to drive new business.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about links. You describe links as the electricity and web pages are the light bulbs of SEO. Can you explain that and why links are so important and the best way to get them?
Well, that links are in the sort of DNA of Google's original ranking algorithm and the original PageRank algorithm in the form of a signal or citation of from other sources to a destination are an indication of credibility, right? And so, you know, Google 1.0.
Like a vote.
Yeah. And Google 1.0 relied very, very heavily on that. And that's something other search engines at the time weren't looking at. They were only looking at on page. And so Google differentiated by being able to use that sort of citation methodology to determine, as one of the signals, to determine ranking and importance. Now, it used to be that you could get links from anywhere and it would be an advantage. And then you had to narrowly focus on topically relevant sources to get links, and that was an advantage. And nowadays, it's a bit different. You know, Google's gone so far as to say, you know, don't ask for links, and then backtrack a little bit and said, well, just make sure you don't ask for links from anyone but super relevant sources. And mm-hmm. The thing is there's lots of linking schemes and tactics. But in the end, what I've found in my 15 years of doing SEO work is that when you use publicity, when you create information that leads to editorially sourced links, that is the most sustainable, risk-free means of creating the kinds of links that not only human beings appreciate, but Google loves or responds positively to as well. So if you want to get links, you've got to market your content. You've got to promote it through social to a community. That means you need to create a community. It makes sense to engage in things like commenting and getting known, becoming known through advertising, through public relations, through email, right? You have channels of distribution that you can create when you have a hub of content. And so this isn't a light mm-hmm. switch you just turn on. This is something that you simultaneously can grow both actively and passively, actively through advertising and through proactive outreach, and passively through growing your own community. Today, when I publish a blog post on toprankblog.com, I know that there are that day, there's going to be anywhere from, I don't know, 7 to 10,000 people that will view our site on that day. And I know that there will be for that particular blog post, there will be an average of 700 to 800 social shares, which can expose at least the article title, you know, to tens of thousands of people. Well, it wasn't like that the first day or even the first year, right?
Right. So and you talk about how you need to do this, you need to start this network before you actually need it.
Well, great entree to a military analogy. the time to build an army is not on the first day of the war, right? You've got to start recruiting way beforehand. And then the same is true when it comes to community building and leveraging a community for marketing.
As we start to wrap up here, Lee, one of the things you talked about is there is no end to search and social media expertise for content marketing. And that ties into some questions that are very popular with the listeners. And if you could share a recent marketing or business book you read and recommend, what would that be?
Because of my belief that content quality is paramount as a differentiator for any business, whether you're a solopreneur, a mid-sized business, or a large enterprise, I think you should your listeners should really, really think about investing in the quality of the content that they're producing. And I think there's a book that is absolutely the best answer on its own for helping people do that. And that is Everybody Writes by Ann Hanley. Ann Hanley, you may know, is the chief content officer at Marketing Profs. She's a fantastic writer herself. And Everybody Writes is both instructional, but it's also entertaining. and has a bit of a snarky sense of humor. And so if you like a sense of humor with brilliant advice, Everybody Writes is the book I'd recommend.
It's a great book. It gets mentioned by so many guests on this show. And I have to add that when I was reading it some time ago, I was laughing out loud. And I was reading at home at one point, and my wife said, "What in the world are you reading?" And that was her book. Yeah, snarky, funny, hilarious. But also, I can't think of a book that's required more courage to write, a book about writing. But she really pulled it off, and it's a great one. And I've recommended it to a number of people as well. Are there any marketing or business books you're looking forward to reading?
Yes. My friend Brian Kramer just published his second book, Shareology, yesterday. And so you can find that, like all these other books, on Amazon, Kindle version, or print book, paperback, actually. It's a paperback. So Shareology, Shareology. Definitely looking forward to reading that book about how sharing is driving modern marketing and what you can do about that. It's more than that, obviously, but that's one I'm definitely looking forward to.
That sounds great. I'll have to, we'll link up to that in the show notes, and I'll see if I can get him on the show too. So Lee, how do you stay informed about modern marketing? Who do you follow, and what do you read? What do you listen to? How does Lee Oden do it?
Through experimentation. The two of the three best here are my top three sources. Number one, experimentation. I'm fortunate in my role as CEO at our company, at our agency. We're a boutique agency of around 30 people. So we're middle size or boutique, I guess. And that affords me, the way we're structured, to do marketing experiments myself. And for the last 5 years, I've been experimenting a lot with an integrated approach that's really focused on what I like to call participation marketing. So it's, creatively sourcing content, crowdsourcing content, working with influencers, but also incorporating SEO and social, and leveraging, a pretty substantial community of over 300,000, where I can actually get qualitative data from these experiments. So it's through those experiments that I really get my best information. Throwing digital spaghetti against the wall, guided by a hypothesis and a little bit of data, and then seeing what sticks, and then optimizing, right, my subsequent efforts. That's number one. Number two is by meeting with other practitioners. And luckily at our agency, we have a lot of really, really smart, creative, very results-focused people. And so I have regular meetings with them, and they talk about challenges and successes that they're experiencing with their clients. And I really learn so much from them. And I suppose it's a similar type of source as experimenting, except it's with companies that range from, companies like Dell, LinkedIn, and other, even mid-market and small companies. So that's my number two source. And my third source isn't individuals per se, but I use social aggregators and keyword-based filters to surface topics that are interesting to me. So I like Mark Schaefer, for example, Michael Brenner, Ann Hanley. These people are super smart, and I love following them. But rather than focusing just on them, because I'm not, a zealot, I'm not just going to listen to everything Mark says, because I don't agree with everything he says, even though, he's very, very, very bright.
He would like you to listen.
He would like me to, but he knows.
He would like you to listen to everything.
I can't do that. But what I want to do is be on top of a certain topic. So I'll use this tool like BuzzSumo, and I'll use the keyword filters there, and I'll use the alerts feature there to surface content to me in the way that Google Alerts was supposed to work years ago. And I'll use other real-time news curation services that work by allowing me to track certain topics. That's my third best way of staying on top of things. So sometimes it's influencers and really well-known people, and sometimes it's something that someone who isn't an influencer but's really smart about what they wrote, and it happens to be resonating with the community, and it surfaces itself. And that way I get exposed to new people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just read your blog, so I appreciate you doing all that.
Well, it's me and it's Ashley Zechman from my team is managing our blog now, and she's done a fantastic job of tapping other talent in our company like Josh Knight and Evan Prokop and Jolina and all the other. Man, there's so many smart people here, and they're all contributing. It's a very crowdsourced, community-sourced effort at creating top-ranked blog content now.
Well, I appreciate it, and the marketing community does, and I'm sure it's helped your business grow as well. So, how can listeners find out more about you and Optimize?
Well, you can certainly find out about me. I use Twitter probably the most at LEEODDEN. I'm also obviously publishing still on TopRankBlog.com. If you want to find out about the book, just type in the word optimize on Google and you'll find it. Or you can go directly to optimizebook.com and you'll see excerpts and some previews and that sort of thing about the book, along with links to Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Great. So, Lee, if readers took only one thing away from your book, what would you hope it would be?
I think when it comes to optimization and optimizing performance with content and marketing, you really have to start with a customer first. You really have to understand what do they need in terms of questions that need to be answered, and that's what you should base your marketing, your content, and your search and your social efforts on, is solving for customers, not solving for search engines, because it's customers that pay you, not the search engines.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't mind me spoiling it, at the very end of your book, you say, if your first thought about content and marketing is, how can I meet the needs of my target audience with content that they care about, you will be well on your way.
Absolutely.
The name of the book is Optimize, How to Attract and Engage More Customers by Integrating SEO, Social Media, and Content Marketing. The author is Lee Oden. Lee, thank you very much for being on the Marketing Book Podcast.
Thanks, Doug.
And that closes the book on another episode of the Marketing Book Podcast. But don't let the end of this episode be the end of your learning. Visit MarketingBookPodcast.com for show notes, free resources, and guides. And be sure to join the Marketing Book Podcast newsletter so you never miss an episode. Till next time. But don't do what Anne Hanley did.
What'd she do?
She said, this is Douglas Burdett, and you're listening.
No way.